The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. As I'm speaking to you now, Pastor Chris has been in the Philippines, and she has been doing the good work there as she's preparing for many conferences and trainings, and really doing the work of the kingdom that God has set her out to do. So continue to keep her in your prayers, because God is surely moving there, and we're going to be hearing some good reports from the Philippines in the near future. But you know, something I wanted to talk about today is that the truth is, God has called all of us to do greater things. You see, the Christian walk, it doesn't end with salvation. The salvation we receive is not really the finish line. That's not the end of the story. The truth is that when you're saved, that is the beginning of a grand adventure that you get to go on with our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we see laid out in the scriptures. You see, think about the Exodus story. You know, many people, they think about the Exodus story, oh yeah, the Israelites, they were slaves to the Egyptians, and this mirrors our own slavery to sin and death, but God, with mighty works, he delivered them, right? He brought the plagues. And then there was the Passover lamb, and the death angel passed over them, right? And then the Pharaoh said, okay, I'll let you go. But then he changed his mind, and he chased after them. And then they went to the Red Sea, but God parted the Red Sea miraculously, and all of the Egyptians got washed away, right? So there was all of these amazing miracle signs and wonders that God brought forth to rescue and save the Israelites from their captivity. And the truth is, it's very much like this in our own lives, where the Lord, he did amazing things to save us, to deliver us, right? Maybe in the past, right? You might have been a mess, you might have had all kinds of problems, all kinds of issues, but the Lord delivered you and brought you to salvation. But the story doesn't end there, right? Because God's intent for the Israelites was that he was going to bring them out of captivity, lead them through the wilderness, and then they were going to go to a land where they were going to live in abundance, they were going to rule as kings, they were going to rule and reign, and they were going to establish a nation whose God was the Lord, right? This is a nation unlike any other nation. It was a nation formed by God that would serve and honor God. This is what the Lord says to Moses when he calls him, right? When Moses sees this big burning bush and the Lord calls Moses out. And he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. See, so the story, it begins with deliverance from slavery and captivity, but it's supposed to continue on to where they're supposed to reach the promised land and they're supposed to inhabit that land that in that time it was being inhabited by wicked nations that did human sacrifices, they worshiped idols, they practiced witchcraft, all kinds of ungodly and wicked things. But they are the ones who had dominion over this land. But the Lord said to the Israelites, look, this land that the wicked people currently are inhabiting, I have set it apart and I'm giving it to you where you're going to rule and reign. And this is very much what it's like for this day, for us. Later on, after they've come out of Egypt, after they've come out of Egypt, the Lord expounds upon this promise, and he says this to Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 19, starting with verse 3, it says, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Right? And what do priests do? The priests are the ones, they're entering the Holy of Holies. They're ministering before the Lord. So this is a whole nation where the whole nation is honoring God and serving God. It's a holy nation that's set apart amongst the world. This is something that we, the church, are supposed to walk out in this day and age. But what happened? Okay, so God had this great, marvelous plan for the Israelites. He was going to free them from captivity. He was going to lead them to an abundant and prosperous land that right now was being ruled by wicked men and women that practiced witchcraft and idolatry and all kinds of horrible things. But the Lord was giving them that land. But what happened? The Israelites, they continuously rebelled against the Lord, right? In their journey to the promised land, right, they would complain. They would bicker and murmur. And they would even say vindictive things against Moses and the Lord. Even though the Lord was continuously, miraculously providing for them, they saw the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. They saw the Red Sea be parted. They saw all the signs and wonders the Lord did for them. And they were drinking water from the rock. They were eating manna from heaven. But despite this, they would defy the Lord. Moses goes up on a mountain for a month to speak to the Lord face to face and get instructions from the Lord. He comes back and he finds they're worshiping a golden calf. Right? Oh, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt, right? The second they were left to their own devices, they turned against the Lord and started doing their own thing, started celebrating their own ways, right? And leaving God behind. At one point, the Israelites, they start to murmur amongst themselves because what happens is God instructs Moses to have them send spies into the land. Hey, go investigate the land that the Lord is giving us. Right? But what happens? 10 of those spies out of the 12, they come back and they got a bad report. Oh, the cities are so heavily fortified. We could never do this. Oh, there's giants in the land. How could we ever stand against them? Meanwhile, they've seen what God has done. And God has already promised them this land. Something you have to remember, guys, is that when the Lord calls you to something, it's not going to look easy from an outside perspective. The Lord is going to call us to do something that is greater than we can do on our own. Moses can't part the Red Sea on his own, right? Joshua can't knock the walls of Jericho down on his own. But because the Lord was with them, the Lord did it on their behalf, okay? When the Lord calls us to something, he's not going to call us to something that's within our own abilities. He's going to call us to something that's greater than ourselves. And through his Spirit, you'll be able to rise to the occasion. Okay? Remember, if the Lord called you to it, he will be able to get you through it. Okay? Always remember these things. But they were so focused on the impossibility of the situation rather than the fact that they serve an impossible God. Okay? So they come back and they start to spread a bad report among the camp. Oh, it's impossible. We can never do this. Oh, the giant, we're all going to kill. We're going to become their slaves and this and that. And our children are going to be sold to them. Right? They went around spreading a bad report. And this actually, unfortunately, is something that still happens to this day, where unbelieving so-called Christians will plant seeds of doubt in their brothers and sisters. Something you have to remember is you hold fast to those things that God has spoken over your life. Do not allow anyone to talk you out of it. Do not allow anyone to cast any shade of doubt in those things the Lord has spoken over your life. Okay? Because remember, the first sin, how did it start? The serpent came to Eve and he said, did God really say that? Is that really true? I don't know about that. Right? Planting seeds of doubt and unbelief. And unfortunately, many Christians become a stumbling block for their fellow believers, just like these Israelites. We're spreading a bad report. Oh, well, God said this, we can't afford that. Oh, that's too big. Oh, we're going to run into a problem with this, and we're going to run into a problem with this. Those things are God's problem. The Lord said to Moses, if you obey me fully, right? If you follow my commands, then I'm going to make sure that this happens. The instructions of the Lord, obeying the Lord, are the requirement for the promises of God manifesting. All of those circumstances, whether there's fortresses or giants or any or armies or any kind of problems, God will work to make sure that you will overcome in the end. So Joshua and Caleb, which were the two people that were not spreading a bad report, they were trying to get the people to calm down. No, the Lord has promised us this land. Let's believe in the Lord. But the people, they were plotting, no, we're going to go back to Egypt. Oh, and they were even talking amongst themselves that they were going to stone Joshua and Caleb to get them to stop talking. So the Lord shows up and he silences everybody and he begins speaking to Moses in the face of the people. And the Lord says, not one of these people who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. In this scenario, God's intention was they were going to go from Egypt, they were going to spend, you know, they were going to go on this journey through the wilderness, and they were going to go into the promised land, and then this nation, this new nation that was God's nation, was going to be established. But because of the rebellion and stubbornness of God's people, it was delayed for another 40 years because God had to wait for another generation. And you see here, God says in verse 24, but my servant Caleb had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. So Caleb and also Joshua were able to enter into the land, but their manifestation was delayed because of the disobedience of their fellow believers. Something you have to understand is that when you act out in disobedience, when you step out of faith, it doesn't just affect you. It can affect your loved ones and those people around you. God has been saying for years now that he intends to bring a move of God, the likes of which has never happened in the history of the church. Whether we will be a part of it in this generation depends on our obedience to the Lord. Something we have to stop doing, okay, is we've got to stop focusing on all of the crazy bad news that the media is trying to get us stirred up into. We have to stop also playing political games. Something we have to understand is that we, the church, are called to be the light. Which means, as the church, we don't have an allegiance to a particular political party. We only have an allegiance to God's ways of doing things. So if one candidate is doing things God's way, that is the candidate we're supposed to support. And let me be frank with you guys, okay? The truth of the matter is there is corruption in both the Republicans and the Democrats. Because if there wasn't deeply rooted corruption, our country would not be in the state that it's in right now. That is the truth of the matter. Right? So you can look to the Republicans or you can look to the Democrats and you can think, oh, maybe this time they'll fix the issue. The corruption is so deeply rooted that both sides of the aisle need to be dealt with. There need to be replacements on both sides of the aisle. Okay, so we can't pin our hopes on a political party. We can't pin our hopes on a particular political candidate. The truth is that we, the church, are the light. And we're supposed to be the solution to the darkness. So, something that's not productive, for example, is, you know, going on Facebook or going online and complaining about how bad it is. Because the truth of the matter is, that's not unlike what these spies who went around spreading a bad report. Oh, the deep state. Oh, can you believe how horrible this is? Can you believe this, right? And you just start spreading things, and what happens? You get into fear, you get into bitterness, resentment, and suddenly you take on this mindset where you're so cynical, you're so jaded, that you don't think anything good can happen. And trust me, I understand, right? Those holes, they get deeper and deeper and deeper. Instead of complaining about how bad things are, we, the church, need to focus on being the light. We're supposed to be the solution to the problem. And young people now more than ever are so desperate for the truth that they don't even know where to look for it. You have to understand, they're growing up in an era where you've got all of these things all over social media. I mean, things like depression are at a higher rate than they've ever been. Things like mental illness are at a higher rate than they've ever been. Everyone's basically on some kind of drug, whether a mental drug, whether some health drug. I mean, there's so many issues that young people and older people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. We, the church, need to start being the light. And you can start in your own life. You can start where God has placed you right now. In the workplace, amongst your family, amongst your friends. Because if you prove to the Lord that, you know what, I can obey you where I am right now, then the Lord will increase your influence. We have to be faithful where we are right now. So many Christians, right, they spend their days daydreaming and dreaming about, oh, and then one day I'm going to be appointed above everyone and everyone's going to recognize me for the gifts that I have. And there's so many people where they want to appoint themselves as leaders of different ministries and they go around calling themselves apostles and prophets and this and that. And they want to appoint themselves as leaders so that they can show that, oh, my ministry has been established. Focus on being the light where you are now. Understand this, that Joseph went for years and years and years without any recognition, in fact, put into the worst situations, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, but he was still faithful despite all of that. He didn't try to make a name for himself, but God established him in the end. And for many people on the outside, they might look, you know, for example, imagine you were a officer in Pharaoh's court, and suddenly this man Joseph was appointed as prime minister over everything. Who's this Joseph guy? Where did he come from? He didn't go to our schools. Where did this happen? For them, his walk looked like it came out of nowhere, right? Because everything he did, nobody ever saw it. So for them, it just looked like in an instant, where did it come from? But in the spiritual realm, Joseph had been walking a faithful walk for years and years and years. The truly great leaders in the spiritual realm, they have been walking faithfully before the Lord, and they've been doing it faithfully for years and years and years. Their prayer walk has been consistent, and it's been powerful and anointed. Their love walk with the Lord has been consistent and powerful with the Lord. Their faith walk has been consistent and powerful with the Lord, no matter what the circumstances. And they've been obeying the Lord, they've been listening to him, and they've been walking it. And they've been doing it for years without the recognition of man. This is the kind of walk we need to walk in this day. God has called you to do greater things. You know, it's amazing because, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, and this scripture is often quoted, the Lord says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. before you were even born, the Lord has created this grand calling for you to fulfill. And then he says to Jeremiah, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So before Jeremiah was even born, God predestined him and called him to be a prophet to the nations. Now that's amazing. And Jeremiah, he kind of protests. He says, Lord, what am I supposed to say? I don't know how to talk before people. I'm too young. I'm just a kid. And many historians theorize, you know, Jeremiah was just a teenager when he was called by the Lord. But here, just as a teenager, the Lord's saying, nope, you're a prophet, and I'm putting you above kings, I'm putting you above nations, you're going to be a prophet to the nations. And so God says to him, don't say you're too young, because you're going to go and you're going to say everything I command you to say, and you're going to do what I command you to do. In this scenario, the authority and the position, where did it come from? It came from God. The Lord is the one who appoints. And so never say to yourself, oh, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm not educated enough, or I don't know anything about that. The Lord is the one who calls. The Lord is the one who anoints and appoints. This is why Deborah, even before Jesus, was able to be judge over Israel, even though she was a woman. And let's face it, women didn't have any kind of rights back then, especially compared to today. But despite the fact that she was a woman, the Lord chose her. Now, you think God, when he looked at Deborah, you know, when he appointed, oops, wait, Deborah was a woman? I had no idea. You think he somehow forgot that she was a woman, that he didn't realize who Deborah was? No, I think God did it on purpose. I think God did it to show us that it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're slave or free, or if you're poor or you're rich. If the Lord has called you and anointed you, that is authority given to you by God himself, and no one else can take it away from you. If you read the story of Deborah in Judges chapter 4, you can see that she clearly has authority over the commanders of armies and over men and women. In Judges chapter 4, she sends a message to Barak, and she says, basically, the Lord is commanding you to do this. These are the things you need to carry out. These are the instructions you need to do, right? She's issuing an order to him. Why? Because the instructions came from God, given to her to deliver to Barak. So Barak is now subject to Deborah. And the Bible even tells us that Deborah was the wife of Lapidoth. So even though she was still married, she had authority over men and women. She had authority over the people of Israel. This clearly shows us that even if you're married as a woman, the Lord can use you mightily. You can still be placed in a position of leadership, because Deborah, in this story, doesn't consult her husband. Oh, Lapidoth, is it okay if I do this? Can I run this by you? No, because when Deborah is operating as a prophet and she's operating in this position that the Lord has given to her, she is operating as a son of God. She's not operating as a woman or as a wife. She's operating under the authority that the Lord gave her. And it's the same for all of us. This concept of authority is so important, and it's something that we're going to continue to talk about. Just remember this, though. The Lord has called you to do great and mighty things, but your ability to step into that calling is 100% dependent on your willingness to obey God fully and have faith in him. But that's all the time that I have for this day. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And don't forget, keep Pastor Chris in your prayers as she's in the Philippines, because God is doing mighty works there. We're going to see works in the Philippines. We're going to see mighty works happen here in America. And we're going to see the nations transformed for the glory of God. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you're listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Until next time, God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.